House, please come to order. Will members please register their presence by voting?
The machine doesn't work.
I'm sorry. Our voting machine is broken down completely today. There will be a representative from the company supposedly here to fix it. See how that goes. In the meantime, we're going to have to use the voice roll call vote. Ask the members to bear with us till we get the machine repaired. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Byrne?
Here.
Bennett?
Here.
Bradley?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Buchholz? Carpenter?
Here.
Chatterton?
Here.
Cotton?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dankworth?
Here.
Duncan?
Here.
Eliason? Freeman?
Here.
Gardner?
Here.
Greening?
Here.
Guy?
Present.
Haugen? Hayes,
here.
Kelly,
here.
Lathine,
here.
Loveseth,
here.
McKinnon,
here.
Meekins,
here.
Miles,
here.
Miller,
here.
Nackack,
here.
Osi,
here.
Osterbeck, Parr,
here.
Phillips,
here.
Rode,
here.
Rudd,
here.
Schaefer, Smith,
here.
Snyder,
here.
Swanson,
here.
Urien,
here.
Akers,
Anderson?
Here. Mr. Speaker?
Here.
37 present, 3 absent.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, Representatives Eliason and Schaefer excused from a call of the House today. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Pastor Johnny Reimer of the Auk Bay Bible Church. The House please rise for prayer.
Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we come before you to ask your direction for the tasks of this day. We acknowledge your sovereign control over us and your personal interest in us. We would submit ourselves into your hand and would train our hearts and minds to listen to your instructions. We recognize that the decisions we shall have to make today will have far-reaching effects. We also realize that they could have significant impact upon our lives and those of future generations. Deliver us from that attitude of self-sufficiency by which we think we can forecast the future accurately or know all the answers or have considered all the problems. Give us the courage to use the abilities that you have given to pursue the tasks that await us. Grant to us that wisdom that acknowledges your authority. You know the end from the beginning, the future from the past, and all the details of the present. Now grant to us all that measure of faith by which we shall draw upon your ability and power to properly meet the challenges of this day. Amen.
Representative Meekins. Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the clerk please certify us to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify us to the correctness of the Journal for the 16th day.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the Journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 16th day.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Are there any messages from the Governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
There is a communication from Commissioner Donald Harris attaching the annual report of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. A copy of that report is on the file in the Speaker's office. There's a report from Ronald Skoog, Commissioner, a communication. He's transmitting the 1977 annual report of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 201 relating to a contest among school children to name the new capital city under consideration, and the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 201 and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, signing DuPass, Lathine, and Dankworth, having no recommendation, Bradley, McKinnon, and Nackack. House Bill 201 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions?
There's a citation in memoriam of Elsie Oberg by Representatives Kelly, Bradley, Cotton, and Phillips. House Joint Resolution Number 54 by Cooper, requesting the Postmaster General to improve postal service in Sand Lake.
Refer to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of bills.
House Bill Number 679 by Osi, an act appropriating $1,500,000 for paving and upgrading the Fairview Loop Road in the Matanuska Valley and providing for an effective date.
Refer to State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 680 by Buchholz and Guy, an act relating to bilingual public hearings under the Administrative Procedure Act and providing for an effective date.
Refer to Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance.
House Bill 681 by Cotton and Duncan, an act relating to state aid for school construction and providing for an effective date.
Refer to Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance.
House Bill 682 by the Special Committee on the Alaska Permanent Fund, an act relating to non-renewable resource revenues.
Refer to the Special Committee on the Alaska Permanent Fund and Finance.
House Bill 683 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife Books, and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Resources and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Urien. House, please stand at ease. Back to order. Down to consideration of today's calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the daily calendar?
House Bill Number 613 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Labor, Workmen's Compensation, and Local Hire, and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 613 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Anderson, Loveseth, and Smith, having no recommendation, Brown and Hayes. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 613 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 613 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Buchholz, Swanson, Duncan, Greening, and Cooper. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, ordinarily I would move adoption of the committee substitute on the advice and request of the Finance Committee. I'm not going to do so. Apparently in the committee substitute there is an error that has been detected, and that particular error will be taken care of in other legislation that's available to the committee. So instead of moving the committee substitute, Mr. Speaker, unless there are additional amendments, and I'll pause for just a moment, unless there are, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 613 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 613, third reading.
House Bill Number 613 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Labor, Workmen's Compensation, and Local Hire, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, this bill provides two supplemental appropriations to the Department of Labor. The first one is for $39,300, which is to benefit 91 people who were permanently injured before May the 4th, 1974, pretty a long ways back. It's a supplement to their weekly wage compensation benefits. So the long and the short of this is that the finance committees have to estimate these amounts from year to year, and of course you never do know how many people are going to be hurt or how much in the way of benefits has to be paid for them. So this is an adjustment to that figure, and this is something that we have to take up every year because you never do guess right. The second part of it is a supplemental appropriation of $110,000, which is, in the opinion of the Department of Labor, sufficient to carry out the provisions of the Alaska Local Hire Act. The Free Conference Committee last year reduced that because they thought that the burden on that particular division would be lessened a great deal by reason of the wind down of the pipeline. For a number of reasons, it didn't happen that way. Some of the companies took that opportunity to test the law and to flaunt the law. And also, the Supreme Court of the state of Alaska changed the law substantially by reason of their opinion, which was, of course, something that we had no way of knowing about last year. So the $110,000 will be used to carry out the appropriate level of execution of this law, local hire law. As to the Finance Committee substitute, what the Finance Committee did was to add an appropriation for a lump sum settlement under the second injury fund to a person who was permanently injured. However, it appears that there was another bill submitted by the administration to take care of that, and for a number of reasons that we felt it was best to go ahead and take care of that in the regular course of business rather than adding it to this bill. So that's the reason we're not asking for the body to accept the Finance Committee substitute, but rather to go back to the original bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 613 pass the House? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Byrne?
Aye.
Bennett?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Buchholz?
Yes.
Carpenter?
Yes.
Chatterton?
Yes.
Cotton?
Yes.
Cooper? Dankworth?
No.
Duncan?
Yes.
Eliason? Freeman?
Yes.
Gardner?
Yes.
Greening?
Yes.
Guy?
Aye.
Haugen?
Yes.
Hayes?
No.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lathine?
Yes.
Loveseth? McKinnon?
Yes.
Meekins?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Nackack?
Yes.
Osi? Osterbeck?
Yes.
Parr?
Aye.
Phillips?
Yay.
Rode?
Yes.
Rudd?
Yes.
Schaefer?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Urian?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
Thirty-six yeas, two nays, two excused.
Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the final total.
36 yeas, two nays, two excused.
So House Bill 613 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 613 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Joint Resolution Number 45 by Bradley, requesting assistance from the Alaska Forces Radio Network in covering the Arctic Winter Games. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 45 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Miles, McKinnon, Nackack, and Lathine. Mr. Kelly has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution 45 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Joint Resolution 45 at third reading.
House Joint Resolution Number 45 by Bradley, requesting assistance from the Alaska Forces Radio Network in covering the Arctic Winter Games.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, this thing whizzed through the State Affairs Committee. I called over there to go over to their meeting, and they said they had just adjourned and had reported the thing out, which is fine because, of course, you'd expect that kind of treatment considering the sponsorship, or at least I would hope so in most cases. But Mr. Speaker, I have prepared a memo that's going to the members of the Finance Committee that addresses the related appropriation, and there is a related appropriation bill. And considering broadcasting this event, I would appreciate it if the members of the Finance Committee and other members would look at the possibility of providing a similar service for the World Eskimo Indian Olympics that's held in Fairbanks in every July or August.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, that's exactly my problem with this bill, what Representative Brown alluded to. On line 17 of page 1, whereas the games have never received radio or television coverage before. Mr. Speaker, there are literally thousands of events in the state of Alaska that have never received radio or television coverage before, and I don't think the state should be in the business of trying to cover them.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, of course I disagree with the prior speaker, but the membership, I didn't want to belabor it because I get up and talk much too often on other issues, but I just wanted to appraise the members that this does have a companion piece of legislation that's now in finance to the tune of $10,000. To respond to Representative Brown's request, I, for one, I can't speak for anybody else, am supportive and sympathetic to the televising of the Eskimo Olympics in Fairbanks.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 45 pass the House? Will the clerk please call a roll?
Byrne?
No.
Bennett?
No.
Bradley?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Buchholz?
Yes.
Carpenter?
No.
Chatterton?
Yes.
Cotton?
Yes.
Cooper?
Yes.
Dankworth?
No.
Duncan?
Yes.
Eliason?
No.
Freeman?
Yes.
Gardner? Greening?
Yes.
Guy?
Aye.
Haugen?
Yes.
Hayes?
No.
Kelly?
No.
Lathine?
Yes.
Loveseth?
No.
McKinnon?
Yes.
Meekins?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Nackack?
Yes.
Osi?
Yes.
Osterbach?
Yes.
Parr?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Rode?
Yes.
Rudd?
Yes.
Schaefer? Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Urian?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
Yeas, 7 nays, 2 excused.
Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the final total.
31 yeas, 7 nays, 2 excused.
So House Joint Resolution 45 has passed the House. Representative Miller?
Speaker, may I be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Lee Metcalf, United States Senator from Montana, requested by Representative Cooper.
Representative Cooper?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the citation for Senator Metcalf.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Records show that the citation was approved unanimously. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Meekins?
Mr. Speaker, revert to introduction of guests.
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests.
Mr. Speaker, today I checked before I arose, and there is indeed someone I'd like to introduce in Gallery A. This person is sort of a fellow traveler of mine. We grew up together in the same neighborhood and attended most of the same schools, and in fact, went to the same college together for a couple of years, and he was instrumental in tutoring me through several of my harder courses, and I appreciate that very much. A very close friend of mine, Robert Gottstein.
Representative Dankworth?
Are we back to special business?
If there are no further guests for introduction, we're down to unfinished business.
I'm sorry. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the Journal reflect me as a sponsor on House Bill 650.
No objection. Could you identify the legislation, Representative Dankworth?
I don't recall just exactly what the title of it was, but it deals with 650 was sponsored by Dr. Byrne, the bill that requested the Attorney General to sue the federal government over our rights as a state.
So further unfinished business to come before the House. Special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to make some comments and voice some complaints on the lack of the administration paying any attention to legislative intent?
Without objection, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I wouldn't take the time to air my personal complaints and grievances here, except I have the feeling that a larger number of my colleagues and I suspect have the same problem. And I want to give you a personal example, an example that's what happened to me and I know of some others. Mr. Speaker, I'm aware that you personally have had this problem called your attention, been aware of it, and I use as evidence to that effect that prepared both in 1976 and 77, or was it 75, 76, I guess, 76, 77 fiscal year, a report on executive agency compliance with legislative intent. And it says prepared at the direction of the Honorable Hugh Malone, Chairman of the House Finance, on both copies. And they're quite lengthy. Results, as I read through them, were not too complimentary to the administration when it comes to consideration of what the legislature intended should happen. I want to give you an example, a couple of them. For several years, down an area that Mr. Gardner and I represent, we have as you can well imagine, we don't have too much area available to us for winter recreation. There's a road back into the island about 9 or 10 miles long, and at the end of that, there's another 3 miles of Forest Service road. It's called the Harriet Hunt Lake Road. It's a little lake there. It's nice for ice skating. And the people down there have very laboriously gone up the side of the mountain with their chainsaws and cleared themselves a small ski area. And they built a shelter cabin and did everything that they could to make do with the best that was available. Put a lot of effort into it. There was only one problem. The state would plow the snow off the road up for the 10 miles till it came to the 3 miles and it stopped. The reason for that was because that Forest Service road was not on the state highway system. And we've argued with them and pleaded with them. That was the answer that we got from time to time. Last year, and I don't want this to sound too crass on anybody's part, but I happen to be on the Finance Committee, the chairman of the subcommittee on transportation. That's a budget. My last year amounted about $130 million. And I suggested to them when we were having hearings on the highways department's budget that it seemed to me that it wouldn't be that much of a job to plow this road. And they said, well, that's correct. And they found that they could plow the road, except that they would need a piece of equipment. And I suggested it sound a little like blackmail, but how much does this piece of equipment cost? It cost $60,000. I said, all right, I'll get you the $60,000. Now plow my road. So I went home and I told the people that, the ski enthusiasts and the skaters and the snowmobilers, that the problem was solved, that we were going to, we cost the $60,000, but we're going to have the road plowed. So I was quite amazed when I, shortly after I arrived back in Juneau, to receive complaints from the people that the road was not being plowed. And I said, well, I can't believe it. But I started checking. And, well, the first explanation I got was probably the governor vetoed it. And I said, yeah, that looks like that's what happened. The governor's vetoed it. So I told the people, and they reported duly to the newspaper, that I had said that the road wasn't being plowed because the governor had vetoed it. Mr. Speaker, I'm a man that's not often too much in accord with the things that the governor does, but nobody has ever accused me of being the type of person that would falsely accuse somebody. I ran on to some information, and kind of incidentally, Free Conference Committee report, fiscal year 1978 operating capital budget, and I was reading the governor's letter on the vetoes. And then following the letter is a long list of all the items vetoed and the reasons for it in the governor's language. It says, for instance, on one near Palmer Fair Stadium lights, I have reduced or removed the funding following, so forth, and this kind of thing. And I get over here to Department of Transportation, Highways, Equipment Acquisition. I find it says, and this is all it says, reduction, $272,000, remaining $600,000. But under that, bold as it can be, it says funding for equipment acquisition is intended to include equipment for the Harriet Hunt Lake Road. And, Mr. Speaker, that puts me in an embarrassing position. For one thing, I had to call the newspaper in my hometown and tell them that I had falsely accused the governor of vetoing something which he hadn't done. But I went then to the Department of Highways, and I asked these people. I started very gently because I had a feeling they didn't realize what they had been doing to me, and led into this thing. And finally, when I read them the language, I pointed out to them how they got the money to do it in the first place. I read them the language. Then they said the reason they hadn't plowed it was because the people down there didn't really want it. So, Mr. Speaker, following that, I got on the telephone and I called the gentleman that I had communicated with before, the director of Parks and Recreation, and some other people, and asked them if this is true, and they very emphatically told me that it was not true. The Department of Highways told me that in case they really did want it done, that the proper thing to do was to contact the foreman there and see if it could get it done. I told the Director of Park and Recreation to call the Highway Department and tell them that I wanted that road cleared, and I didn't care if they did it with a shovel, I wanted it done. Mr. Speaker, it seems to me that the time has come, it's a long time ago. I know we've made the effort over and over, you've done it. But it bothers me that the way some of these middle echelon bureaucrats simply ignore what this legislature says should be done. Mr. Speaker, they can use any kind of an argument they want, but within the constraints and confines of the state constitution and the laws of this land, whatever this legislature decides is the law of the state of Alaska, that's the law. It's our responsibility and our duty to appropriate money, and if we make mistakes and we do it foolishly, still that's our responsibility. It's not for some middle echelon bureaucrat to make the decision that we don't know what they were doing. Now that's one example. I'll use one more. Mr. Speaker, down again in the district, Mr. Gardner and I represent, we have a logging camp, if you want to call it that. And when they're busy and going, there's 700 people live there. It's a pretty good-sized community by the standards of the state. These people do not have ferry service. They don't have an airport. They do have a road. It's 17 miles of Forest Service road from that camp where those 700 people live over to the Cross Prince of Wales Island Highway. They can get and reach a ferry service, and they can get automobiles in and out like other people can. I've tried for quite some time to get the Highway Department to plow that road in the wintertime. I have never asked them to build bridges or anything else that goes along with it, just to plow it in the wintertime so these people can get in and out. 17 miles of road. They said we'd do it. Because it's not on the highway system, we do it to the extent the Forest Service provides the money, and the Forest Service won't provide the money to plow the snow in the wintertime. So I said, all right, I'll see that if we can't take care of that and let the state provide the money, because these people have a right to travel over that road in the wintertime. And written into the intent in the budget again, so that nobody could miss it, anybody that can read the English language, it's very plain. It says, intent, the district shall provide year-round maintenance of access roads to the villages of Clequan and Thorn Bay. And I went home and I told the people that in Thorn Bay that I think I've solved the problem. They've got enough money, they can do it. And when I got back up here, I got these phone calls from the people in Thorn Bay. They can't get their cars in and out. They can't get to the ferry. They're isolated. A lot of people in the state live in isolated areas, but this is one particular case where it isn't necessary for them to be isolated to that extent. The excuse I got again was the same one. I went to the Commissioner of Department of Transportation, explained the problem to him. He said, it's reasonable. It's in the language is there. It should be done. I'll check into it. I come back to see how he's doing, and they have an excuse. Well, it's not on the state's highway system. Mr. Speaker, I don't know of any law that says a road has to be on the state highway system to be plowed. I bet you if you check around the state, you'll find several areas where roads, where they can run a grade over and plow off a little snow without it being a part of the highway system. And who made this law? Who said, did this legislature say that you don't plow a road unless it's on the state highway system? I've never seen a law to that effect. Therefore, if the state legislature provides the money and tells them to plow the road, I say they're supposed to plow it, and I don't want any bureaucrat telling me we don't know what we're doing. Mr. Speaker, if they use the argument, you put the intent in, but you didn't provide the money, maybe that has some validity. I wouldn't argue with that. But Mr. Speaker, the records show that the Department of Highways in 1975-76 budget year, fiscal year, lapsed $3,146,947,000. Last year, up to this last fiscal year, again, they lapsed $2,307,976,000. They did have the money. They just don't want to do it. Now, I just, sitting around crying about this, and some of my colleagues have overheard it. Mr. Nackack's another one. Legislative intent, it was written in there that the Icy View loop road or something, a gnome, should be plowed. It's not a big deal. It hasn't been done. Now, Mr. Speaker, I don't know what the answer to this. Your effort here is one that I would, I think is a commendable one. The problem with that is that by the time you come back and audit what they should have done, it's too late to do it. So we go into another year and we audit again and why they haven't done it. But I don't know what the answer is, Mr. Speaker, but I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I'm getting tired of these people telling me I don't know what to do, what should be done. Maybe I don't. But that's not their decision. That's mine as a member and this body, the part of this legislature. And I, as far as I'm concerned, if I would invite my colleagues, those that are having similar problems, if they want to list them or get together with me, we'll sit down and see if we can't figure out something to do. A few years ago we had the big problem with the imperial presidency. The President Nixon was the Congress was appropriating money. He decided he wanted to spend it, impound it. Well, they took care of that. And I don't think any more of an imperial executive here than I do at the federal level. We're the people's choice. We may not be the best in the world, but we're the ones that the people decided to send here to make the laws and make the decisions. And by golly, I want somebody to pay some attention to it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any more special orders? Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would request the privilege of the floor to speak on the Interim Insurance Committee. Mr. Speaker, it was a privilege and very much of a pleasure to serve on the Interim Insurance Committee. And Mr. Speaker, it is gratifying that I can report to you that it was a very active committee, a very hard-working committee, chaired by a very hard-working colleague of ours. Also, Mr. Chairman, I am happy to report that the committee staff was hard-working and put in long hours. Mr. Speaker, it's always a pleasure to stand and be able to laud the work of others, but that's really not my purpose for standing here today. Rather, it is to call to your attention that a report distributed to you and all members of this body earlier this month is a report prepared, and I emphasize the word for the interim committee and not by the interim committee as the cover of the report would so indicate. In fact, Mr. Speaker, on pages 52 through 58 of that report, the language phrases such as the committee feels, the committee recommends, are used something on the order of 8 times, no less than that anyway. Press reports about a week ago also referred to this committee as being, this report as being a report by the committee. Mr. Speaker, I wish to set the record straight. Committee members do not unanimously support the conclusions set forth by this report. In fact, Mr. Speaker, a majority of the committee does not support all of the conclusions. Mr. Speaker, my comments are not to be construed as an attack on the credibility of the factual information that is set forth by the report, nor is it to detract from the committee's staff as to their hard work. But in all fairness, it should be pointed out that this report does not include all of the factual information that was brought forth in testimony at hearings of the committee. And in all fairness, Mr. Speaker, this report cannot be called unbiased. I think that's about it, and I thank you, Mr. Speaker, very much.
Are there any more special orders? Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to Mr. Chatterton and members of the legislature for any misrepresentation that might have been caused by the report. As there were 5 members of the committee, and as you know, when Representative Bradley filed for a statewide office, by law he was removed from the committee, and on the day of our final meeting, Senator Sumner at the same time was tied up in a budget and audit meeting. So instead of being on the long end of a 3-2 vote, I suddenly found myself on the short end of a 2-1 vote. And I guess that's politics, but the committee report had been prepared by that time, and I had submitted drafts to members of the committee at that meeting. And the bill, although not introduced by the interim committee, was introduced by the Commerce Committee. And I went to Representative Chatterton and Senator Huber and asked their indulgence to go ahead and issue the report anyway, since it was a lot of work had gone into it, and it had been was in the process of being printed. And I didn't want to waste the efforts that had gone into it. And very graciously, they both consented to that, and the report was issued. If I had been conscientious, I should have, I suppose, caught those references to the committee on those pages and removed them. But I missed it, and the report was printed. And so, to set the record straight, as Mr. Chatterton pointed out, the bill was introduced by the Commerce Committee. And the report doesn't represent the feelings of the committee as voted on at the final meeting.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, 115 State Affairs will be taking up a number of state employee bills. House Bill 558, dealing with temporary state employees. House Bill 560, amending requirements for state personnel rules, et cetera. House Bill 562, group insurance benefits for temporary state employees. And House Bill 564, retirement benefits for temporary state employees.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, the House Labor Management Committee will meet at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning in the committee room, room 207 of the Assembly, to consider Committee substitute for Senate Bill 40, an act relating to state and municipal employment.
Representative Parr.
Speaker, House will meet at 3 today. We have House Bill 472 dealing with the rights of the mentally ill.
Representative Gardner.
The Judiciary Committee will be meeting today again on the criminal code on sentencing.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 this afternoon. We will be hearing a presentation by the Chairman of the Board of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And we'll also be taking up House Bill 611, Supplemental Appropriation for Telecommunications, House Bill 662, Income Tax Refund for 1977, Senate Bill 118, Missile Appropriation for Miscellaneous Studies, House Bill 619, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Labor, House Bill 652, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Natural Resources, House Bill 161, Teachers Retirement Credit in the U.S. Merchant Marine. While I'm on my feet, Mr. Speaker, tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 in the Majority Caucus Room, the staff of the Steering Council on Alaska Lands will show the movie which has been produced through the funding of this body to show people in Washington, D.C. It's a 12.5-minute movie on D2, and anybody who's interested is certainly welcome to see it, including the public.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tonight at 7:30, the House Special Committee on Royalty Oil and Gas will have its initial meeting to discuss a number of oil and gas-related measures with our consultant, Milton Lipton. Everybody's invited and encouraged to attend.
Representative Osterbeck.
At 1:30 today, in Courtroom A, Mr. Lipton will address Senate and House Resource Committee on oil and gas-related matters. Tomorrow, January 26th at 1:30, House Resource Committee will meet and will take up House Bill 569, Transplanting a Caribou, committee substitute for House Bill 573, Amending Commercial Fisherman Loan Act. And on Friday the 27th, Mr. Lipton will address Senate and House Resource Committee on Oil in Courtroom A.
Further announcements? Representative Miller.
Several announcements, Mr. Speaker. I'd indicated last week that the Legislative Council might meet today on Wednesday, but a number of the members would like to hear Mr. Lipton, so therefore we're going to hold that meeting of the Legislative Council tomorrow, that's Thursday, at 3:30 p.m. in room 123A. That's Representative Bradley's committee room, which he's made available for us. A couple of social announcements to remind members that there will be a reception for legislators and their spouses at the Governor's Mansion this evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And a note of considerable interest to all of us, Representative Meekins will be speaking at the Democratic luncheon today. Fascinating subject. The title of his speech is "Who Really Pulled the Switch on Your Utility Bill?" or "Oil Taxes for a Strong Alaska, One Step Closer." Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.